and put your mark on Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Y'all ready?
Amen.
Well, just everybody be on my page. You know, I'll be honest with you. I really don't want to preach this morning. Didn't want to preach this morning. I love preaching. It's just I've had one of those couple of weeks now that I've come to my point where I want to choke the devil's head off, and so you know I don't like to get up here and put on some smiley face show, so I'll just let you know I'm gonna preach to myself this morning and hope you get something out of it. You know, we've been talking about running the race. Last Sunday we talked about running the race, and just so you'll get an idea of what we're talking about when we say that. When the Bible refers to running the race, it is a believer's kingdom involvement in their life. It's the race, the Bible says, that God sets before you, that each one of us have a race to run that God involves us in, whether it is in the kingdom as far as winning souls or making disciples or encouraging the discouraged or striving to live the truth out loud. It is... building a kingdom marriage, one that is good and thriving and that is enjoyable and that's a blessing that honors God. It's parenting according to the scripture and raising up little missionaries that love Jesus and know the Lord and live for the Lord throughout their life. It's ministry, whatever aspect is. And so that's kind of the idea when we talk about the race. That God involves us in. Each one of us should be. You should be running a race. Basically, if you're not a born again believer, you need to figure that out and give your life to Jesus before it's too late. And then once you've been given life, God saves you and He wants to involve you in what He's doing here on earth. You know, he one of our prayers He said to pray is, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so God wants to use you in some capacity in order to fulfill that prayer. But last Sunday we talked about running the race. Wednesday night, I know not everybody's able to be here, we studied how to identify what your race is and getting started in that, and how God trains us, corrects us when we need it, so that we can run with endurance, with a great expectancy of winning in that race. And then today I want to look at strength and power for the race. You know, I remember back when I was, and I might have told y'all this story recently. If I did, just forgive my Alzheimer's. But back when I was in school, junior high, running track, I remember I hadn't even decided what I was going to do yet. I just wanted to be involved. And I was sick there for a period of time. I got some flu or something. It wasn't COVID back then. They called it something different. But anyhow, got sick for about a week or so, missed school and milked it. But I remember when I went back that the coach decided he was going to sign me up for what he thought I needed to do. And we went to that track meet, and I figured out that he signed me up for whatever, two laps around that miserable 800. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I'm good for about 80 feet back then. Running ain't never been my thing. I know people go, "Oh, you got long legs, you're a long distance runner." No, I must have lungs this big around, because I'm not. And my philosophy is, I think running and racing is for people who don't have motorcycles or four-wheelers. And so, as you can imagine, I got out there, you know, about the first quarter of the race, I thought, I got this, you know, I'm doing good. You know, when you're a kid, you don't want to look like an absolute idiot, no more than you do when you're an adult. So I get out there, and I remember I start running, and I'm telling you right now, I started falling back. And that might have been halfway around the first lap. By the time I got that second lap, my legs was on fire, my lungs had collapsed, and I thought I was fixing to pass out. It was horrendous. It was like you had two 50-pound weights on each leg in the last stretch, and you really had to push. Now, what I'm telling you that story is for, sometimes racing is not glorious. Sometimes running a race, it's not always exciting and invigorating. I know you watch these shows where they win and do all that. I was the fool way back in the back praying to God that I was going to live after this was over, I did manage to finish the race. And I feel like sometimes that's the way running the race, my race is with the Lord. It's not always exciting. It's not always just this movie Hollywood, always, you know, at the end you win, that kind of stuff. Sometimes you just want to slow down and you get worn out and you feel like you're going in circles. And the farther you go, the more worn that you get, and you feel like the only victory. And I told my wife this week, I said, sometimes I feel like the only victory that I get is learning to try to be joyful while I'm getting the crap beat out of me by the devil. Now, I might be the only one in here, but I'm just a realist. I'm not a smoke blower. Christianity, serving Jesus. I love the Lord with all my heart. I love serving the Lord. I love being in ministry. I love being involved in any aspect God involves me in the kingdom. But that doesn't mean it's always just wonderful. Sometimes it's miserable, but you just press because of what you believe. And you know that God is good. And here's the thing. There's sometimes, for some reason, you can hear the voice of the enemy a whole lot louder than you hear God. And it seems like for the last couple of weeks, that's just been kind of where I'm at. And maybe you're there today, and hopefully, you know, I can be encouraged because I encourage you. Sometimes you're encouraged by just encouraging others, even when you don't want to encourage. Amen? I ain't asking you to feel sorry for me. I don't need you sorry. What I need to do is see the devil's heart and knock his teeth out. That's what I need to do. But, because here's the thing. The devil hates a runner. You know, we talked about Wednesday night, the chastening of the Lord. The Lord loves us. He corrects us. He trains us. And sometimes we go through some very difficult times in our walk with the Lord because God's preparing us for what is to come. I truly believe that in this country, we are facing some days to come that are fixing to be very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. I love the revival we see over Charlie Kirk's death and what God's doing in that. But I just want everybody to understand is the enemy is well ready to stand with that. Not backing off. If you look at what's going on, the devil's just ramping it up. And I believe God is trying to awaken his people and save some people to go, you better wake up for what's coming because it's coming like a freight train. And so in that, you know, the Lord does allow us to go through some things like a coach allows a trainer to go through pain so that you're prepared for what's to come. And the devil hates a runner. He wants to wear you down. He wants to overload your emotions. He wants to take your heart from you. He wants to make you make a life-impacting decision or decisions that will obviously disqualify you or remove you from the race. That's the whole point, okay? Satan's whole point with all the things that he brings in your life is he wants you to make a rash, emotional decision based upon when you're tired and you're weary and you're angry. And please don't read all this into me this morning, okay? I can identify with some of it, and I'm not in a horrible place. I'm just going, this is the way the devil works, and I think if he works on me that way, he got to be working on you too. And what he wants us to do, he wants to bring us to a place where we're overwhelmed by what's going on in the world around us to where I make a quick decision, you know, or a rash decision. And even our smallest decisions have an impact on other people around us. Y'all with me? Think about this. In Genesis chapter 4, you see the story of Cain and Abel. You know the story real quick. Abel offered up the sacrifice that God required at that point in time for righteousness. Cain went and did his own thing. Okay, the Lord rejected his sacrifice. Cain got swole about it, bitter, angry, all that stuff. And the Lord came to him in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. He said, Cain, why has your countenance, your whole countenance has changed? And then he said this. He said, sin lies crouched at the door, but you should rule over it. Man. There are times where the devil tries to work in and around us, okay, to get us to respond. And you know what Cain did? He responded out of his flesh. He opened that door up and he killed his brother and everything changed. Not only his life, but historically in a lot of people's lives was impacted by Cain's one decision. And the devil always tries to do things or work things to grab a hold of our heart, to grab a hold of our sight, to grab a hold of our vision or our attitude. And he wants to bring us to the place. And he does the same thing. Even to believers, he's like, here's a door that if you just go through, he wants us to go through that door. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And the Lord's like, hold on a second. You have the power to choose. As a believer, you rule over sin. It doesn't rule over you. Now, you can give in to whatever it is, okay? And I know some of you are thinking, what sin are you struggling with, Brother Aaron? Okay, let me say this. My sin might be just be to lash out and beat the stupidity out of stupid people. If you want to be honest. I don't know if y'all watch social media. And all the stuff that goes, now I'm talking out of my natural man. There are ways I can put a stop to things in certain people. Now, I know y'all don't think this way, but when I see some things on there, I don't always go to, man, that he really needs Jesus. When people come on the road beside me and they're waving their hand at me and they're saying things with an angry look on their face, I don't automatically go, man, I really need to overcome evil with good. What I do is I go, I'll put you in the ditch, pull you out, and I will beat the brakes off of you. That's what the natural man is. So sin lies crouched at my door. I don't know what yours is. You know, and I'm not saying any of that is right, but let's just be real. If anybody's so holy you can't identify with that, you're probably in the wrong church this morning. And so in that, you know, you love these honest messages, amen. But here's where I'm at. I don't want to give in to that attitude. I don't want to give in to a lot of attitudes that I've had here lately that I'm wrestling with. And I'll go to the Lord and I'll pray. My Lord, really need your help, really need your help. And because here's what I want. I want my attitude. I want my life. I want my actions, my words, my deeds. I want to honor Jesus with everything that's in me because that's the spirit. Every one of us who's a born again believer, we have spirit and we have flesh. And you choose which door you're going to open, which door you're going to close.
Right.
Think about this. This race is ran from the heart. Now, if you look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, you know, he goes through and he talks about the training or the correction and the chastening of the Lord. Verse 12, he says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people. And holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Isn't that the whole point of us running the race? Because we want people to see the Lord? That you want to see the Lord? You want people to see the Lord? And then he goes to verse 15. Look carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now, I want you to consider all the things that you're involved with. I want husbands to consider your marriage and wives to consider your marriage because that's a race. I want you to consider the impact of raising your kids and how you're raising them according to God's plan for their life and the word or how you're not. I want you to consider the decisions that you make in life each and every day and how it impacts the people around you, whether you're going to run or whether you're going to get discouraged and you're going to quit. Like he talks about here, when he talks about strength in the hands hang down, it's like a person who was running and then they come to the place where they just kind of slow down and they're wore out and their hands are hanging down and they can't, that's like me and that race, they can't hardly stand up, you know, and you finally come to the place where you go from running to walking to just sitting and go, I'm done with that. I'm done. You know, I'm done with dealing with her. I'm done with trying to get along with her. I'm done with, and I can use this because we don't have this issue yet. But a lot of people do. You know, they're running the race and the devil comes against you in your marriage or he comes against you in raising your kids or he comes against you in your path that God has you on ministry-wise or what you're involved with. And he comes against you when you start talking to people about Jesus. And the next thing you know, if you're not careful, you'll do like these people that Paul was writing to here and you become discouraged and you become worn, you become weary, and then you begin to make those stupid decisions. that changes not only your life and what God wants to do, but others. Let me give you an example. Here's the thing. Satan wants to shift to the flesh, not the heart. We run the race from a heart, okay? Satan wants to shift from my heart to my flesh, what I would naturally do as the place of influence. You're either influenced by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God in your heart, or you're influenced in your flesh by all the things that's going on in and around you, in your circumstances and in your life. Satan wants to shift it. Why? Because if he can get you angry and weary and high emotional pressure or fear, then he can cause you to make rash decisions that impact your life that are really life wreckers. Think about this. When Jesus was going to the cross, the night that he was arrested, he took Peter, James, and John. Now, if you go back and you look at Peter, James, and John, they had a high calling, even higher than the other disciples in the group. Okay, James and Peter and John, all of them were going to have very influential impact on people in the future. Not only did Jesus have that plan, but the devil himself knew that. And so his purpose is to knock them out and to disqualify them before they ever got going good in the race. Jesus comes to them the night he gets arrested when they're in the garden. He told them what? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Why? Because the spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. You know what they did? What in the world is he talking about? He wasn't even talking in the King James language and they didn't understand. Y'all with me this morning, okay? Now, I want you to think about this. What happened? The Lord knew what the devil was fixing to do. And rather than him just go, I'll take care of it, he lets you battle it. Because that's what strengthens our faith. That's what prepares us for the things to come. He's like, all right, I've given you what you need to battle this and to overcome. And here's what Peter, James, here's how they respond. He comes back, he's like, can you not just pray with me 1 hour, watch and pray? You need to watch and pray. Something's coming. Okay, all of a sudden, they get woke up. Why? Because the guards and all the people are coming, the lanterns, and they're coming to arrest Jesus. They get woke up. I think Peter was looking like my wife at about 6 a.m. He was still about half asleep, hadn't had no coffee. And the next thing you know, what does he do? He hacks off Malchus's ear with a sword. Rash decision. What's the next thing that happened? Jesus got arrested. They all forsook him and fled. They're looking out for themselves now. That wasn't led by the Spirit. That was their flesh. So they all took off their own direction. Then Peter, 3 times in that evening, denied that he even knew the Lord. And the devil's like, I got you. You're disqualified. You're out of here. Now, we know that the Lord came back and he took care of that. Thank God that he does. Because sometimes, listen to me, sometimes, not all the time, can you have a second chance. There are some things in life you don't get a second chance. Right. But God gave him a second chance and he took care of that. And so this is what I want to point out to you, that this race can only be won by God's Spirit in us. By God's Spirit in us. So we have to have strength and power to run. Man, you're quiet. You're either thinking or you're asleep this morning, all right? We have to have strength and power to run. If you're going to have a kingdom marriage, raise kingdom kids, be a servant in the kingdom, it takes a lot of strength and power from the Lord. That's right, amen. Right. If you're one of those people who go, I don't really ever think about that, you're not running. If you don't beg God every at least during the week, go, God, I really need your help and your strength today. Not just to function and make it, okay? I'm not talking about living a life to where I'm just so focused on everything in my circle. I'm talking about where I wake up in the morning and go, I want to talk to somebody about the Lord today. I want to impact somebody for Jesus. I want to be involved with the kingdom. I want to do what God's put me here in this place to do. And Lord, I need your help and your grace and your power to do it, because without you, it's not going to get done. And it's a waste of time to live for what's going on in this wretched world around me, because it's a house burning down while people are fixing the pictures. And so in that, I look for that strength and look for that power. And I was talking to the Lord this week. And I'm like, Lord, what does that look like? What does that look like? You know, and the Lord made it real simple for me. I want to read to you something out of 2 Samuel real quick. A couple of verses. I started looking and go, God, how do you find strength in all this stuff that's going on in our world? Well, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 33 says, God is my strength and power. God is my strength and power. And I thought, well, You know, here's the thing. It's not that God only gives strength and power, that he is my strength and power. And as I believe Mark preached on that a few weeks ago, that's what it means to abide in Christ. If I need strength and power, I need to be connected to the very source of that, not only asking God to give me power. You know, it's funny. We always want to muster it up ourselves instead of going, you know what? The Bible said you have not because you ask not. Sometimes I just need to own myself, get on my feeble knees and go, Lord, can you give me strength today? And he's like, yeah, I can give you strength. I can give you strength. I can give you power because I am strength and power. But as I walk with the Lord, what happened with the disciples and they did all that stuff? They separated themselves from walking with the Lord. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm just talking about being stupid. And I'm preaching to myself, I'm not calling you stupid, but I'm just saying there are times and there are days where I just go, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take care of this myself. And those are the worst days. Amen. Look at 2 Samuel 22:40. He says, for you have armed me. That's already. You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. Now, this applies to the devil right here. Watch this. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. Let that sink in. For six of you here who really battle, I want you to listen to what he said. Because in my mind, I go, the devil just seems to always come in. You know what we was talking about back there? We was praying back there. We was talking about back there. And I was telling him, I said, I really don't want to preach this morning. You know what I'd really like to do? I'd really rather get in the UFC ring with the devil himself today. Probably wouldn't want to do that. But in my little pea brain mind, I thought I'd love to choke the life out of him. For all that he does, not just in my life, but in your life and what he's got going on in this world, just go, I can't wait. And I know that here's the thing. He's already defeated. The Lord said, I've already armed you, fool. I've armed you with the victory. And you just continue to choose to look at different things and believe lies and to be consumed by what's going on around you. Instead of you walking with me and you putting his neck in your hand and going, I'm going to choke you out today because you have no power over me.
Amen.
And so in that, we all get weak and feeble at times. And here's the thing. We drop our hands. We go from a run to a walk to a sit. But as a child of God, you can't stay there. So yeah, don't we all do that? Yeah. But don't we all get back up?
Amen.
Don't we all go, you know what? All right, I'll give it to you. You beat me down today. The world beat me down a little bit today. Or you know what? I'll give it to the devil. He stomped on me a little bit today. But you know what? Round two's coming back up, brother. And I'm getting right back up from this. And you're going to have to beat and beat and beat and beat because you will never beat it out of me.
That's right, amen.
Believe way too much and God is way too good for you to keep me down. And so in that, you have to get up because here's the God's honest truth. And I want the parents to listen this morning. There is no place for a weak and feeble faith in the culture we live in. You understand that? Young people, there is no place for a weak and feeble faith. Now, be careful how you hear what I say. I'm all about encouraging. I'm an encourager. I want to encourage people. I'll come alongside of you when you're going through troubles and trials. But I think over the last little wild generation years in the church, it's almost been projected to us that God's people are weak and we just, oh man, just barely made it through the week and I just need to go to church so I can, you know, just barely survive. And I'm like, I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to go into battle with soldiers like that. I mean, if they loaded us up right now, shipped us over to wherever all this fighting and stuff's going on and we were going into a war front, I wouldn't want to be sitting there with, you know, somebody sitting beside me going, man, I really don't feel good. I don't know about this. Y'all think y'all could come cry with me? I'm like, but we do Christianity like that. I'm like, it's okay. It's like I said, all of us sometimes have our times of weakness, but we shouldn't just be weak.
Nope.
If we're drawing our strength from the Lord, we shouldn't be weak. So if the battle comes, so bring it. You know what? I might get tired during it and get a little oxygen and take a drink of Gatorade, but put me right back in it. And as God's people, listen to me, what's coming on this world, I could be wrong, but if I look and see all this stuff that's going on, we're raising our kids up. You better raise your kids up not to be weak,
right.
Spiritually weak. You better teach them to stand. Dads, be an example of what courageous and bold means. I boldly speak Jesus. I boldly speak the word of God. I boldly love my wife. I'm boldly going to, you know, those are the things when you talk about courage. I'm not, again, not talking about popping somebody, but here's what I am talking. I will protect my family, and you better not come against them.
That's right.
And so in that, I just go, we need to, and I know there's a lot of people when I said that. You know why? Because you've been molded to think, well, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. I got two. Don't pull the third one. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? And you men can do your family however you want to, but you come against mine, then I ain't going to have to do a whole lot of praying if you want to know the truth. My mind's already made up. Jesus is willing to go to the grave over his family, and I'm willing to go to the grave over mine.
Amen.
For the rest of y'all weak individuals, call the police. You need them, all right? That's where I'm at. I just go, you know, I don't need to call the police. Just call the morgue, you know, because ain't nobody coming against my family. Woo, man, I lost some people over that and right there. All right, let's move forward. Strengthen your hands and your feeble knees. You know, here's the thing. As I looked at this, because I'm going to strengthen my hands and my feeble knees, I thought, Lord, number one, I'm going to ask for grace. Right here it says not to fall short of the grace of God. Sometimes we forget that God's grace is there for us. Think about this. The Lord said, approach or come boldly to the throne of grace that you might have help in a time of need. You know what he said? Before he created me in my mother's womb, he thought, this fool is going to need a whole lot of grace. And you know what? He provides a whole lot of grace. You say, you shouldn't say some of the things you say. Read the book of Psalms, people. David complained. David was honest with God. David said whatever he said to God. He always did it in a respectful manner. But he looked to God and he's like, how long am I going to pray and you're not hearing me? The Lord's okay with you being honest with him. He's like, I got grace. Now, I'm talking about coming to God in a very reverent. I fear the Lord. I love the Lord. I respect the Lord. But me and God are honest with each other. You can do all the smoke blowing you want to do. And God's like, I'd rather you just come and be real with me and let's deal with where you're at. Because now I'm going to show you who I am. So in that, it's okay for you to go to the Lord and go, you know, God, I've done it. I've done it many times. Lord, you know that person I thought about, I'd like to put my boot heel. I know. Some of you ladies are thinking, I don't wear boots. You wear high heels. But you know, there's some of them politicians that I watch, and that's why I quit doing social media for a little while this week. I'm like, you know why? Because the devil just wants to get a hold of you. And what he wants to do is he wants to just sow one little seed of bitterness in you. Maybe it's not a politician for you. Maybe it's somebody you're married to. Maybe it's somebody who's in your household. Maybe it's a parent. Be careful for how your kids say amen, because you'll get the fire beat out of you when you leave church today. Maybe it's somebody in your past. Or here's the thing. Maybe it's just something. Bitterness just doesn't come from people. Bitterness sometimes comes from something that happens to you that has nothing to do with people, and the old devil looks and goes, where's this God of yours?
That's right.
And you're like, why is this happening? I'm walking with the Lord, I'm abiding in the Lord, and all of a sudden, make no mistake, you can walk with the Lord, you can abide in the Lord, you can memorize scripture, you can speak, you can pray, you can sing, you can do all that, and bad things are still going to happen.
That's right.
Bad things are still going to happen to good people.
That's right.
Understand that. And you have to be careful that you don't let the devil cause you to misinterpret who God is, and you get a seed of bitterness, because that bitterness is not towards other people. That bitterness goes towards the Lord. And we have to be careful, because once it takes root in our heart, it doesn't just affect you. You know, there's a lot of marriages affected by a root of bitterness that was in there a long time before you even met, and you haven't dealt with that. And there's a lot of churches who have split over a root of bitterness that wasn't dealt with according to the Scripture. Because they let the devil sow a seed, they start listening to it, it produces anger, it produces hate, it produces division. And the next thing you look up and you go, wow, I made some choices that I can't undo.
Well.
So you got to strengthen your hands. You know what strengthen your hands means? It means that I need to get a grip. I need to re-grip. I know I'm making a lot of UFC references more, so you can tell where my spirit is. Do you ever watch UFC? I mean, I'm by no means can do any of that stuff in a redneck way, maybe, but not professionally. But here's what I want you to get. I watch them guys, and sometimes they're, you know, they get them, they got them in that chokehold. They almost got it, but they don't got it. But then all of a sudden, you know, I know they're tired, and they're, you can see their ribs coming in, they're breathing, and then there's a move, and they re-grip, and they get it a little. Sometimes you get tired in the race, you get weary in the race, maybe you're battling, I don't know why I'm referring to it, but maybe you need it. Maybe you're battling for your marriage, for God's sake today. Some of you need to get a grip.
That's called locked in.
You need to, that's good, thank you, brother. You need to get locked in. You need to re-grip. Say, what, I need to choke my wife a little different? No, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting a... This is where I want you to look. Look in Isaiah 35 real quick. I'm almost done. Isaiah 35. Now, in Hebrews, where he says, strengthen the hands which hang down in your feeble knees, he's referring to Isaiah 35. You notice what it says in... Let me find my place. Notice what it says in verse 3. It says the same thing. Strengthen your weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fear-hearted, be strong and do not fear. But I want you to see what you grab, what you re-grip is the verse 1. Watch this. It's the promise of God. He's like the wilderness and the wasteland. That's where they were. Their life, their nation looked like a desolate desert. Maybe you're here today and you go, my life, my marriage, my home, my job, my future looks like a desolate wilderness. Regrip. Watch this. What'd you call that, David?
Get it locked in.
Get it locked in. That's good. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice. Even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Therefore, strengthen your weak hands. The Lord's like, it's not always going to be this way. You're holding on to the wrong thing. The reason sometimes our lives are looking the way they're looking is because we got a grip on things that we shouldn't be holding on to. And God's trying to shake them loose. He actually says in the last day, he's going to shake this place that we let go of the things that are temporary and we grab a hold of the things that are eternal. And sometimes in life when we get defeated and discouraged, we need to let go and we need to strengthen our hands. We need to get a new grip. We need to lock in on the promises of God. I got to read this to you because it's so good. Watch this. He says in verse 4, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, with a recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of jackals, not coyotes. Where each lay, there will be grass with reeds and rushes. The highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. He's talking about Jesus here, people. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks that road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. And you can just keep reading. You go, that's the promise of God. That's where we're headed. And so whatever happens in this world, if we are actually living in the last days, and like I say, it's not going to get better. If this is the time when we're going to see the coming of the Lord, it's not going to get better. Pray all you want, but it's headed down as far as the world goes.
Right.
And that's why the Lord said, you need to let go of it because it's like a sinking ship. You don't hold on to the Titanic when it's going down. You reach for a lifeboat.
Amen.
And some of us need to let go, and we need to reach and go, all right, God, I need to refocus my life on what's eternal and what doesn't change. And I'm going to get on this path. I'm going to get on the highway. It's been raised up above all these other things. And I'm going to walk on the smoothness, and I'm going to be healed. And the problem is some of us, we want to stay on the side roads. We want to stay down on the low pass in the rocky, and we trip and we fall and we get banged up and beat up and dislocated. And the Lord's like, make straight that path. Put those things out of your life that's causing you to get dislocated so that I can heal you and put you on easy walking.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to finish right here. Because if you don't get nothing else, I want you to get this. I want you to look back, finishing up in Hebrews chapter 12. Heed this warning. Heed this warning. If you're here today and you go, well, I'm just really frustrated, or I'm really angry, or I'm really empty, or I'm really discouraged and all this, and I just want to, you got to be careful how you end that, and I just want to, you want to what? Be careful how you just want to. Because sometimes our just wannas are the only chance you got. Some races in life only come once. Watch what he says here. He says, lest there be, in verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Now watch this, because there's a lot of people that I hear, well, doesn't God forgive? Well, doesn't God forgive? You know what? I know what the Bible says, but I want to. And people make that decision. I'm like, hold on a second. Because they act like, well, God's a God of second chance, and God's a God of many chances, and all these different things. Like, God is a God of grace. God is a God of many chances, but not everything comes with a second chance. Right. Well, what if you repent? Watch this. He said, for you know that afterward, verse 17, you know that afterward, when he wanted, see, his wants changed. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. Now he wanted what he had that he done lost. Well, surely God will forgive and he'll give it back. Watch what it says. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So what is the Bible saying there? He diligently sought to undo what was done, but it wasn't possible.
That's right.
Wasn't possible. Not everything comes with a second chance. Let me give you some examples. Just as simple as yesterday. Can any of you go back and relive yesterday? No. Days don't come with a second chance. Now, you might get another day, but you can't go back and have yesterday.
Right.
And so whatever choice I'm making today, I can't go back and undo it. It's not possible. Raising kids, you get one shot. One. You don't get to go, well, you get grandkids. That's grandkids. That ain't kids. And so the choice that you make and the way that you raise them, you better seek the Lord with all your heart for that wisdom and for that grace to raise those kids up and impact their lives, to point them in a direction. Kids are like shooting an arrow. Once you let go, you don't get that arrow back. You get one shot. Point that thing in the right direction. Point them to the kingdom. You don't get second chances on marriages most of the time. Well, I'll just this then. I'll get divorced and I'll go find somebody else. But you didn't find that person again. You don't get a second chance. And there's always repercussions. Sometimes you don't get the opportunity to share Jesus again.
Right.
You know what? I've had the opportunity to share Jesus. I can think two right off the top of my head. I had an opportunity to share Jesus. I'm like, maybe later. And they died before I didn't get a second chance. You don't get a second chance at some decisions we make concerning Jesus. Maybe you were here last week and you heard the gospel. You're a lost sinner. You've never come to the place to admit that to God. To go, God, I own it. I'm a lost sinner. I'm on my way to hell, and rightly so. And I believe that you died on the cross to pay the punishment for my sin in full. You buried my sin. I believe you rose again, God. Repentance means I'm turning away from my sin. I'm turning to and believe and put my faith in what Jesus has done and who he is. Asking you, God, to forgive me and save my soul. Maybe God pressed that on your heart last week. You went, not today. Maybe you have a second chance. But listen to me. There will come a day where you don't have a second chance.
Right.
Ask everybody in hell. There's no second chances in hell. Oh, there's people there who would love. You read about in Luke 16, there was a rich man who ended up in hell, and he would have given all the riches that he had for one second chance. And you don't get a second chance.
Right.
So what if I cry a lot? I just, I'm not trying to scare nobody, but I just want this to burn home with you, okay? Be careful, because the most precious things, a lot of times, they don't come with a second chance. And so, like the Bible says, Psalm 139, your life is a book. God's already written it. You're going along there. And here's the truth. We don't know when it's going to be, but one day you're going to write your last chapter. Everybody's book comes to a close. You don't go back and go, hey, I'm going to edit. There's no editing. And in eternity, we're all going to get to see that book. And some people's book ends in a very horrific way. If you die without Jesus, you just wrote a horror story.
Amen.
And if God's here today and he's dealing with your heart and you need to turn to Jesus, do it today. Because I just want to be very blunt about this, okay? You say, well, maybe later. Maybe not. You don't have to die to miss your opportunity. If God's Spirit is drawing you, If God's speaking to your heart going, I want to forgive you and save your soul today, and you go, not today. Isn't God a God of many chances? You know, maybe another day on my deathbed I'll cry and I'll repent. If God's Spirit is not drawing you, you can't be saved. It's impossible. You don't just go, hey, today I wake up, it looks like a good day to be saved. I'm going to cry. I'm going to repent. He sought it diligently with tears and couldn't find it. Don't put the Lord off when it concerns your salvation. If you're here and you're God's people, I know how easy it could be to throw in the towel. I know how easy it is to wig out and go with your emotions. But I want you to consider the cost and come back to the place to go, you know what? I'm just going to humble myself and I'm going to trust the Lord because he's good. I'm going to draw my strength from the Lord. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get back up out of the corner and I'm coming back and I'm going to finish my race strong. Because when I finish my book, I wanted to say he finished strong. He finished strong. Amen. Will you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? We'll close in a word of prayer. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for mercy. Thank you for your long suffering, your patience with us, God. Thank you that you love us, even though sometimes we act foolish. Thank you, Lord, that you understand because your word actually says you were tempted in every way. Lord, you were tempted to take things into your own hands. Can't imagine what it was like when all those people were shouting and cursing you and pulling your beard out, mocking you. How easy it would have been for you to wipe out the crowd. But Lord, you chose to trust the Father's perfect plan. And you finished your race strong. And because of that, that's why we stand here today. If you hadn't finished your race, we wouldn't even have hope. So God, I pray that we'd be a people who would be reminded and consider the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, for the people here who have walked off the track, Lord, I pray they'd walk back on today. I pray you would give strength and power to couples in their marriage. To people who are in ministry. To mom and dads who are weary. Pray, God, we would draw our strength from you, that we would draw near to you. We would lay a hold of we'd grip the promises that are there, Lord, because you're a God who keeps your word. You're faithful. Lord, I pray you just raise people up today. They'd leave with a fresh walk, strong, hopeful. God, that you would do a work by your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.